This is an RTRFM podcast. RTRFM is a community organisation and relies on volunteer and listener support. To learn more about what we do, visit rtrfm.com.au.
Toast.
Toast.
Right here. Right now. Most important thing in life will always be the
Movie Squad.
Salute me, familia.
Hello and welcome to another sensational episode of the Movie Squad podcast, coming out from the RTRFM studios from Perth, Western Australia. It's me, Tristan Fidler.
And me, Simon Morato.
And here we are again, in studio, talking about movies, getting stuck into the great topics of, cinematic conversation.
Exactly, but we don't just focus on movies,
no.
Tristan. And I don't want people to think that we are, movie specific, because we want to cover the whole range of pop culture, and certainly with today's topic being bad and good sex scenes, there are plenty of examples from all mediums, but it wouldn't be fair if just you and I discussed this topic and maybe a little uncomfortable yes. If we locked eyes and just sort of ran down the sex we like watching. So instead, we've got some guests with us, the stars of the new Australian comedy series Single Ladies, to talk with us today. Please welcome Tristan, because there's no one else here in the studio, Alexandra Nell and Megan Hollier.
Hey.
Thank you both for joining us.
Thank you for having us.
And agreeing to take on this really uncomfortable topic.
Oh, there's nothing uncomfortable about it.
No, I think the only uncomfortable thing is I'm struggling to find an answer.
Mm.
So that's about it. Freely chat, that's fine.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's very exciting because I know that there was a launch or a screening for the show, and when does it actually come out for people to see online?
It comes out on the 22nd of July, and it'll be on Hivio, which is an online streaming service.
Oh, fantastic.
So, yeah, it comes out after a Melbourne Webfest.
Mm.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Can you tell us a little bit about Single Ladies and your roles in it?
Yeah. Sure. Single Ladies is a 6-part web series that features Megan and myself and another character, and we run our own radio set, and it's all about sex positive kind of series. We're all about self-love and empowerment, and within the first episode, it's not going to be a spoiler, but we get shut down by all these conservatives, and then it's our mission to get us back on the radio. Mm.
And all the adventures we get into.
Yeah, many, many adventures.
And that does include sexual misadventures.
Oh,
as well.
Absolutely. Yes, so that does happen.
Welcome to Single Ladies Radio. I'm Catherine.
And I'm Nina.
And we're two sex-obsessed polyamorous who promote self-love, sexual empowerment, and shame-free intimacy.
And we talk a lot of shit. We're like paramedics of the bedroom. A woman is in danger of living a life of celibacy.
Sorry? Can I get you ladies anything else?
Well, baby, do you think you're gonna steal my heart?
There is some experience here in terms of filming sex scenes. Mm. Can you talk us through, feeling of finding out you're going to be filming a sex scene, or having to, build up the nerve for it? What is that experience like?
Well,
it's so weird.
Yeah.
I've never done one before. And we were part of the creation of this, so we knew it was happening.
Yeah.
But the closer and closer we got, I was like, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
We're going to actually have to do this.
Yeah. And it's not as sexy as you think it's going to be.
No.
Because you have a whole crew around you, and it's not like, oh, let's really get into this with your co-star. It's like, okay, yeah, we need to change the angle for the camera. But another added level to the uncomfortability was that my boyfriend is the cinematographer. So, there's me and my co-star being okay, we have to have this real epic, raunchy sex scene. And then I'm like, oh my God, my boyfriend is watching this. And
he was camera right in
your
face.
And I was like, oh, baby, you okay? And he's like, oh, yeah, the lighting's a bit weird. All right then. So I'm going for it, and this is great.
Perfect. And that is the thing as well, that for anyone watching, whether it be a television show, web series, or film, we're looking at this kind of scene or this image, but it's really just this technical exercise where the lighting's got to be right. In terms of people hitting marks and everything,
it's in focus.
Yeah, and that idea as well, that even in a kind of a low budget, friends getting together to make something, yeah, you are still in a room of people who are kind of watching you.
Yeah. I was in a freezer. You were in a freezer.
That's fun.
Was it cold? It was freezing.
Yeah. Really?
Like every time they called cut, we like run out and they'd give like hot water bottles and everything like that.
Oh, it's so funny.
But it's just a choreographed kind of thing at the end of the day. Like you kind of, leading up to it, you're like, oh my gosh, you kind of like start psyching yourself out. But at the end of the day, it's quite business-like. Mm. Like, as you said, like, it's just like, okay, cool, you're just going to be here and just pound.
But you're not actually, there's no, let's just say for the audiences that don't know about it, you're not actually doing it.
Yeah. And I think the business-like attitude is for the best, and we've heard lots of stories in recent years about the lines getting blurry. Mm. And I heard an interview with Aya Cash, who's one of the stars of You're the Worst, and she has some sex scenes on that. And even in the contracts, they talk about the, I guess, choreography of the nudity and how in her contract, and I might be misremembering it, so I apologize, but, the percentage of butt crack that is shown or the idea that a breast can be shown but not a nipple.
Yeah.
So those things that you do have to be cognizant of, but you are still trying to replicate intimacy on screen, which can be a weird balance to strike.
Yeah, it really is. It was interesting. I was watching Inside the Actors Studio. No, it was a round table with the Hollywood Reporter.
Oh, yes, yeah.
With the drama actresses, and Elizabeth Banks was saying that in her contract, she gets the right to be like, no, you're not gonna show that. I'll edit that out, which you don't usually get because, like, yeah, in your contract you have to.
Well, actually, it's funny because, like, in the last few years, I've always had the producer and I discuss it if it's going to be in the script, like if there's going to be any sort of like sex scenes or nudity, that I actually get final cut say whether or not like that. See, it's not like I'm sitting in the editor's room being like, that's my best angle. It's just kind of like, I approve that or I don't approve that. Yeah. But I think it's important as actors to like know what your rights are in that sort of arena. Like, Meg, you were saying yesterday that you had an intimacy workshop.
Yeah, Run Through Rev, preparing for intimacy, and it's all about like knowing the contract between like the two actors and even the trust with the director. It's like, what can I touch, what can we show, what is going to be there? And like part of the workshop is like, okay, hypothetically, what questions would you ask? And it makes you think. It's like, okay, cool, yeah, like if we're only showing there and there, I don't have to be naked. Like there's no one's going to see it, and there's no reason for it. So having the confidence as the performer to be like, no, I'm not comfortable with that, is a really big thing. And I think like sometimes at a certain level of filmmaking and everything like that, you don't really know that you have that right.
Yeah.
Which totally. Is
because I think like back in the day it used to be just like, let's all just make art and be really and like in order to like get into character I have to like be really like into it, but it's like
and you're saying as well, I mean, you star in this, but you're also involved in the creation of it.
Yeah.
And it's very great to see as well something that is kind of like identifiably sex positive and is kind of looking at that kind of clearly and head on, because it's weird, and particularly with Australia, like on one hand it can be puritanical, and other hand like Australians seem more, like in comparison to America, more kind of carefree in a way. But I remember when I was younger that a scene that was like cut out of the Sharon Stone movie The Quick and the Dead was like able to be shown in Australia no problem. Yeah. But it's, I don't know, like why did you feel that was necessary to be part of the kind of the story of Single Ladies, which is a comedy as well?
Well, I think like the whole premise of Single Ladies and how it came about was like we just wanted to do a female run, like led comedy series about like, and we just kind of started talking about
Tinder
stories.
So like how it actually came up was in 2016, I just graduated from NIDA, which is the drama school in Sydney, and Meg had just moved back from her drama academy in America, and Aaron Moss, who's the writer of the series, him and I got speaking. I was like, oh God, we really want to do like a series with two women. And this is also like before Me Too, when this conversation was happening, like things were just sort of budding about like female led things, particularly with like two women. Right. And, I was kind of like, yeah, cool, let's do it. Let's sort of like talk about ideas. And he's like, I want to do comedy. And I was like, God, I'm not a comedy actor, but like, all right. Yeah, that sounds cool. But then Meg and I, we'd lived together like years before. We both like went on our adventures for drama school, and then we both were like, I'm moving back to Perth, let's like live together. And then all of a sudden it was like Aaron, I've got the actor. Like, this is amazing. Come around. And then it just ended up us just, like, telling him stories about, like, our real, at the time, Tinder adventures.
And at the time, we were single back then.
Yeah, and we were, like, both had never, like, really done Tinder. And I was like, all right, well, why is everyone holding fish? Or, like, what is this? And then next day, he sends us an email with a script, which is basically, we read it. I was like, I told you this verbatim yesterday. And yeah, so then that's kind of it. Like, a lot of the stories were ours and we just sort of flipped it.
Yeah, the original drafts were our stories. And then when we got funding, it
went a different direction. Okay, so like, let's just disclose that.
Yeah. Like, what is actually...
I'm not in a freezer. But yeah, no, it was pretty amazing to sort of see... Mm. how a conversation can translate into a script and then turn out to what it was now. But yeah, I think the whole idea of having like a female-led series with like, you know, us was pretty cool because, you know, we got to do that together. And I think like when you talk about like sex positivity, it's like that really is a part of our age. And like these are the conversations that we sort of were having with friends. And it's like, you know, we wanted to put that on screen. And I think to like both be... sexy but also be smart and also just be funny and witty and weird, like that's how we wanted to showcase ourselves. And I think like both graduating from drama school, we didn't find like roles that really were us, and this was our opportunity to have like our input that was really important for us.
I also think it's a really good time, like as you said, like it, like sex, one of the lines that I say in the show is like sex shouldn't be banished to the corner for being naughty. Like people just, they don't talk about it in a lot of like film and TV and stuff like that. Like sometimes it'll just happen and it's like all of a sudden everyone's naked.
It's not about like being gratuitous or anything like that. No. Like I think this is just like...
It's a conversation on screen talking about sex.
And about humour and stuff. And like, you know, like one of the other characters like does say, you know, like on screen we're so much more willing to watch like people get their heads cut off and like violence and stuff like that. But like when it's about sex, it's just really uncomfortable. And particularly when it's like coming from women, they're like, oh no, that's not good. Oh, we need a sense of this. And it's like,
And it's also like important because I think that, you know, with popular culture kind of being the way in which we kind of grow up and understand how, you know, things work, and often the misrepresentation of what sex is from like Hollywood movies and the kind of like, you know, cliches of sort of like the 80s era of like the backlit soft focus in the curtains, or one question that
just
always
like booming in the wind.
Or one question that always gets asked is like, who's got time to light all those candles?
And
is that a fire hazard?
Always.
Have you guys seen The Room?
Of course.
I actually haven't.
Okay.
And I feel bad, but my dad emailed me saying it's at Luna, let's go throw spoons. And I was like, yes, Dad, we're in. So I'm going to do that.
It is highly recommended. Tristan hosts the screenings of The Room here in Perth.
Amazing.
So how many times have you seen it now?
It's no longer a question. I can't even, I haven't counted. But we're getting into the topic, which is like best and worst sex scenes in cinema. And that has definitely one of the worst sex scenes. And definitely...
best.
Oh, yeah.
well, tell us about the sex scene in The Room.
Okay, well, let's just say, as we already set up, that there is like a curtain billowing, like a random, like, water thing. But also, like, he's definitely penetrating her stomach. So,
you shouldn't have any secrets from me. I'm your future husband.
You sure about that? Maybe I'll change my mind.
Don't talk like that.
What do you mean?
What do you think? Women change their minds all the time.
You must be kidding, aren't you?
Look, I don't want to talk about it. I'm going to go upstairs and wash up and go to bed.
How dare you talk to me like that? You should tell me everything.
I can't talk right now.
Why, Lisa? Please talk to me, please. You're part of my life. You are everything. I could not go on without you, Lisa.
You're scaring me.
You are lying. I never hit you. You are tearing me apart, Lisa.
Why are you so hysterical?
Do you understand life?
I think when the question was posed, you know, what is the best and worst sex scene? Like, that was the first thing that came to mind. I was like, it is the worst, but also the best. And whenever I, like, this really became the question of the week at my dinner party. Yeah, so it was like, all right, guys, like, tell me what your best and worst sex scenes are. And people were, like, really befuddled. They're like, I mean, would you like a MASH? And I guess it would be a...
Well, I feel like it's that awkward thing. It's like, if I tell you what what I think the best is that giving you an insight into my vulnerability, yes. my sexual lifestyle? Like, am I giving too much away? And yeah. Because I asked quite a few people as well. I was just like, I have no idea. Mm. And a lot of people were just like, I don't envy you. Go, like, you go answer that question. I'm like, there's no help.
What would you say your best sex scene would be?
Well, I don't. See, what I was kind of thinking about this week was that, like, it's always the best if you're attracted to the performer or one of the performers in it, or, like, if you just really get turned on. Like, really, like, let's be honest. Like, the amount of people that I'm sure got turned on by, like, Game of Thrones, because they just set it up so well.
Yeah.
Some of them.
I've never seen Game of Thrones.
I'll get out.
I know. Hey, you haven't seen The Room, so.
Very true. But I'm making up for that.
Sure.
Yeah.
So Game of Thrones has, in some instances, beautifully framed and composed sex scenes, but there is a lot of ickiness.
Oh, there's so much ickiness. Yes. I mean, the incest alone.
Yeah.
It's tough.
So does that fall into the good or bad category?
Oh, I think that one's got both. But you look at, like, ones like you, like the TV show, like Outlander.
Sure.
Yeah, like the main guy in that one, like, he's beautiful.
Yeah.
Watching him have sex is great. But also, on the other spectrum, there's also a lot of really, really bad sex scenes in it that make you feel so uncomfortable because they're putting the characters through torture.
Mm. Yes.
And it was just like, oh, like, it's real cringy. Mm. But, like, yeah, like, what is the worst? Is it, like, the worst executed, like, poorly executed? Like,
or,
the,
like, the camera's
is
really weird and, like, they've got this weird flair, or, like, the actors are just clearly not doing it. But, I don't know, because I was thinking about this as well, and I was just thinking, okay, well, recently what has been on TV? And I was like, well, I did just watch this series called Billy and Billy on Stan, which is a random, like, recommended for you kind of vibe.
Yeah.
And it's got Adam Brody in it and also happens to be sleeping with his sister, stepsister, sorry.
Oh, right.
But you kind of...
But I was like, okay.
Sorry. I should say, it's like, it's a comedy series. They fall in love, but they were, like, step-siblings, but they... It's only quite recent. I don't know, but there's this one sex scene that's pretty damn heated.
Wow.
And I was like, oh, but is that me?
Well, just that's because you're in love with Adam Brody.
I am.
And has been ever since The OC.
Sure.
Look, I remember once Meg and I went to the movies and we saw something with Zac Efron. And I was like, I cry when Zac cries on screen. So, you know, like,
shit words. It was Charlie St. Cloud, I remember it being. And it was not, it's not a great film, let's be real. But I turned to her and she's bawling her eyes out. And I'm like, what is going on right
now? So Zac Efron, Adam Brody, these are guys you're locked into.
Yeah,
so.
Like, you know, but I did actually also watch Easy recently with Josephine Boney, and she is holy heck. I am obsessed with her. But there's this, like, new episode in season 3 of Easy with her and Sophia Bush, and my goodness, that is, like, but that, it's not even, like, sex, it's just, like, intimacy between these two characters, and I was like, I'm in love.
I'm happy you asked me out.
I was definitely a little nervous.
Really?
Yeah.
Why?
Because we've been working together and you're a fantastic editor and I didn't want to screw it up. Yeah. I don't know.
I thought I was being totally obvious about having such a crush on you.
What?
For so long.
No.
Really?
No. I just clearly think you are fantastic and I was trying not to be like your creepy boss checking you out at work.
The first thing I think when I look at you, just creepy.
Great,
you say
right.
Creepy.
I'm glad I come off as my true self.
Yeah, of course. No, please be as creepy as you want. It is more than welcome.
Okay.
And that is hardcore love.
Well, Easy is a really good example. I mean, that is a show about different sex lives throughout Chicago, and some of them are very uncomfortable, and some of the conversations are very uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Certainly between the married couple.
Yeah. Season 3 is epic. Like, the conversation between them is just, like, basically two angles. Like, they're just sitting at a bar, and it's, like, just, it goes for, like, 15 minutes, and it's just, like, the most intense I've ever watched the screen before.
Wow. Mm.
And I think the sex really works in that show because you get to know those characters so intimately in all facets.
Mm. And it's not beautiful. Like, the way the sex scenes aren't, they're not shot glamorous. It's kind of just like, because I don't really know a time where I've ever heard, like, doves fly.
Yeah.
When I've been... Have you not?
Yeah. Why?
You're doing it wrong. Oh, God.
No, I watched... the first episode of that new Netflix show, What If, with Renee Zellweger.
Oh, yeah.
And, like, I think, like, the first scene is the sex scene between the two
married couple, and it was just the like my boyfriend and I watched it, and I was like, this is really unsexy. Like, I don't know why, but it's just not sexy at all. Mm.
Sometimes chemistry between the actors is the unknown thing.
I think you just nailed it, because I think a lot of like the sex scenes that we're talking about that we're like, yeah, that's really hot, it's because of the chemistry between the actors.
Mm. Like, you're talking about Zac Efron, and there's a whole season of the comedy podcast We Are Your Friends, the worst idea of all time, where they watched We Are Your Friends, one week for a year, and that has Zac Efron and Emily Ratajkowski, and you think these are two specimens of human beings that are like too attractive, and they have a sex scene in it, and it's just like, yeah, there's nothing. You just don't feel any. Like, it's just not interesting. It just feels like, if the actors don't have kind of like chemistry as characters, then it doesn't really feel like.
Yeah. And what I find interesting is a lot of people think that, like, for actors to have chemistry, they have to actually be in love, or they have to actually be attracted to each other. It's like, well, no, like, our job is to make it seem like we are. So you do a scene and everyone's like, oh my God, so convincing. Are you guys like banging on the side?
Oh my God, no.
I did my job. I made it convincing. That's my job.
you also get into that other area where, like, couples in real life like make a film together, and sometimes it just feels too intimate. Like, there's the film The Getaway, or the remake of it in the 90s, which had Alec Baldwin and Kim Basinger, who were married at the time, and they have this sex scene that is quite full on, but it feels almost just too intimate. It's like, like, you just know that they're married. It's just like that.
Are we in your bedroom right now?
We are voyeurs.
The information is in the back of your mind, just going, "Yeah, this is why. Yeah, this is too much. I can't handle that." But the reception of a sex scene in a film can rely on so much different things. And you know, there's an argument about whether they're needed in films, and that you know, nudity sometimes, like, that just like automatically takes people out of the film if you're just focusing on a body, and like, how can you communicate sex and all that without the, you know, needing nudity, I guess, as well.
But that's so weird as well, because it's such like a core facet of every life, you know, the idea of you know, not featuring this one thing and having all these other things about, you know, being a person or like you said, violence. It's kind of weird that of all the things, this has been the most controversial. It's the thing that makes a movie R instead of MA, as opposed to heads being chopped off.
But
Tristan, okay, so we've got to be vulnerable, surely.
Oh yeah, like, of course.
What were some of the sex scenes that came to mind for you?
So which category are we going with first?
Let's go bad.
Bad. Okay. Well, the one, you know, aside from The Room, the one that comes to mind, just because it's one, it's a bad movie classic, and two, I think, you know, a sex scene when it's bad is that definite like disjuncture between the effect that the filmmakers want to have and your reception as an audience. So if you're supposed to be like turned on and like think it's really sexy, but you're actually just like laughing, that's the problem. Definitely Elizabeth Berkley and Kyle MacLachlan in Showgirls, the sex scene in the pool is up there, just because it is so over the top, particularly just everything that kind of transpires, and the the force of the sex in the pool, and it's
like a shark attack.
It's
oh my God. That was one of the ones that someone brought up this week when I was asking the question. They were like, Showgirls. I was like, damn, I haven't seen it. But yeah.
I mean, like, there's some interesting like other scenes, like the striptease earlier with Gina Gershon and Kyle MacLachlan is very kind of like very interesting. But that one is definitely just like hilarious. It's not, I think, what the filmmakers intended. And it's my pick for one of the worst. Yeah.
Okay, well, the one that came to mind for me, and I would not blame anyone if you haven't seen this film, but it's the Josh Hartnett movie 40 Days and 40 Nights.
Yes, I've seen it.
You have seen this one? Okay. So when I was kind of approaching this, I was like, well, yeah, what is bad? And ultimately, I went with one that didn't make me feel icky necessarily so much as I tried to find a film that just explores sex in a bad way. Mm-hmm. And the premise of this movie is this guy is so good at getting laid that it's driven him kind of crazy. And look, you know, sex addiction is real, and I respect that, but this is definitely not shame. This is a movie where he goes, all right, I won't have sex for 40 days and 40 nights for Lent, and this will fix all my problems. But he falls in love with a perfect girl, Shannon Sossaman, just to throw another early 2000s name out there. And basically, he, you know, they decide to spend a night together, and he brings her to climax by blowing a flower petal across her body.
Ooh.
And
I know the scene.
You know the scene. You know the scene. And look, and maybe you'll have a differing perspective to it. I think that it is a bridge too far.
Oh, I agree. Okay. I definitely, I mean, it's been years since I saw it, because obviously it's a bit of a throwback, yeah. But I think it's very weird.
It's like, very
weird. It's a bit lol. Like, I will have a bit of a lol at this.
And it's played totally straight. And throughout the film, there's very problematic ideas about sex and you know, gender, absolutely. And that moment in particular is one where I went, no, that is... even at whatever age I was when I saw it, I was like, I don't think that's...
like,
that's...
reading the script as the actor, you were just like, okay, so I'm just going to blow a flower across your body and this is going to be really hot.
obviously.
Be into it. Director's, like, standing there, like, behind the monitor, like, yeah. And now, oh.
Yeah, that is the sensitivity to which they approach that movie. Mm. So, yeah, 40 Days and 40 Nights, not that anyone would even... I don't even know if it's available, like, on physical media or streaming platforms, but I don't recommend seeking it out.
I think there's still a video shop in Mount Hawthorne where maybe you can get
it. Oh, okay, there you go.
Yeah, we saw that at Rev. There was a documentary about it.
Being the last, you know... video store in Perth.
All right, yeah. Network Video.
Yeah.
This is your moment to shine.
Yes.
Buy up those last copies of 40 Days and 40 Nights. Yeah.
Watch the worst scene.
Yeah.
I want to throw out there, there's one film I haven't seen and one film I have seen, but both have the same kind of scene. And it's definitely up there for me for just like worst kind of, you know. Anyway, the two films I'm thinking of, one is called Shoot 'Em Up with Clive Owen, which I've not seen, and the other is Drive Angry with Nicolas Cage, and both feature a scene where the hero, the gun-toting hero, is so viral, he's virile because he is having sex with someone and then like assassins barge in to try and kill him, and then he's like shooting guns while having sex is like it is like a 13-year-old boy's like, you know, wish fulfillment come to life. Like, oh, I'd be so sick if I had guns and was having sex at the same time. It's just like
just shooting all the pistols. Really.
Yeah, exactly. It is so over the top and ridiculous, and so yeah, that
shoot him up. I'll defend slyly.
Sorry, this is like a real like sex and violence mashup.
Yeah, it truly is, and in that scene he is literally hoisting Monica Bellucci around while shooting with both hands, I think, so it's very impressive. That movie's meant to be like a Looney Tunes style film. Yeah, even eats a carrot at the start of the movie to indicate he's like Bugs Bunny. But yeah, see, I did see that come up on a lot of the bad sex scene lists. Do we have any other examples of good sex scenes? I mean, I have one to share, but...
Hear yours. Right.
I was trying to find that off. Well, again, you know, you have to kind of go, all right, well, what did I enjoy watching? And the one that did come to mind, the sex scene in The Handmaiden, which is Park Chan-wook's South Korean remake of the Fingersmith tale. It is a lesbian sex scene. Mm. But the reason I wanted to cite it is because the audacity of the scene, which isn't particularly, you know, po-faced. It is quite funny. Firstly, the sound editing and sound mixing of that scene is really something to behold or to hear, because it is extremely graphic. Just if you close your eyes, it's a graphic sex scene, which is quite remarkable. And the other thing is it does something that I haven't seen too often, which is the camera takes the point of view of the genitalia at certain points.
Oh.
So you're getting a first-person view of this sex scene from very different and unique angles. And the fact that it is partly meant to be funny in the sequence is was very appreciated. So,
interesting.
Yeah, it sounds to me like you haven't seen The Handmaiden.
No. I'm also now thinking about, like,
Imagine being in that, like doing that scene. Yes. And you have a camera down in your groin.
Yeah, I do think some fake legs were employed.
You'd have to.
So it was a very interesting movie and scene to watch. So please add it to your write it down right now.
Well, no, I was just trying to think. I was like, what was your good?
My good. Well, a couple come to mind because, and I like that point that you made, Simon, because sometimes I think the thing that's missing in cinematic depictions of sex is that it's, and particularly there was a wave of films, I think, building on from French cinema in the 2000s of like, let's get really graphic and like really show things. And often it's like it misses something that I think is kind of fundamental to sex, which is the kind of the idea of fun or just like laughter sometimes, that like ridiculous things happen sometimes where it's like, you know, it is comedy in some ways. And I think that often that's missing. But definitely one that comes to mind and is often talked about is the chemistry between George Clooney and Jennifer Lopez in Out of Sight. And there's a great kind of sex scene, which is kind of them chatting at the bar, and the film is kind of like cutting between them talking at the bar and then later on when they're in the kind of hotel room together. And the cutting and the music and everything like that is just like very, very cool, very definitely
awesome.
Like one that I would put out there is and sometimes I think it's very interesting with the depiction of sex, and that example Out of Sight is definitely one that's kind of playing it a little bit coy. It's not really going like full, you know, French New Wave, like not even French New Wave, but you know, in terms of how graphic it can be. And I think sometimes when it's too graphic, people kind of lose their minds a little bit. I remember being in a screening of the Michael Winterbottom film Nine Songs, which had like real sex in it. The actors were actually having sex, and there were like critics around me who were just kind of like nervously giggling and just like making jokes, because It is a lot to handle when you're like at 11 o'clock in the morning and like you're sitting just seeing like full on.
But it's
on,
like I'm watching with other people. It's like you know, and I think like when I was growing up, like I mean, pretty much even until I like moved out from my parents' house, like we're sitting watching TV. Probably even to this day, like if I'm watching movies with my parents, I'm like, if a sex scene comes on, all of a sudden my face gets red. I like start like chatting or I look away so that they know I'm not. Yeah. Like looking, and I don't know what that is. And then there's me like in Single Ladies doing it. Yeah.
I've got one about that as well. So when I was a kid living with my parents, we're in school, and me and my younger brother decide to watch Team America.
Oh, right.
And my mum decided to walk in at the very moment when the puppet's having sex.
Parents
and
always walk in.
Oh, they know. They've got like a sixth sense of just being like, this is the most awkward time I could come in. And she did. And it was like, we were like, oh God. Because we were like, oh God, I don't know. It was like early high school or primary school, like way too young to be watching it.
Yep.
And it was just the most uncomfortable thing.
Oh,
and it was just like, oh gosh, sorry.
I'm just going to go like play in a tree or something like that.
I said, like, now we're doing it.
Yeah.
Tristan, before we go back to your good example, I do have to ask, have your parents seen Single Ladies yet?
Mine were at the premiere, yes. Yeah.
And how did they react?
My mum was like next to my boyfriend, so it was like two seats away. So slight cover to the eyes. I was like, I just don't want to watch it. But I was quite lucky because my sex scenes were actually in the trailer.
Okay. Yeah,
so
that's true.
It was like they knew what was happening.
Yeah.
Hers, however.
Yeah, my parents haven't seen it yet, but I'm excited for them to, when I sit them down in a very private setting, you'll be like, okay, I need to have the talk with you guys that I've matured. This is happening. But my parents are very, like, they've got a really good sense of humour, so I think they'll really enjoy the show.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Well, we'll find out.
Yeah. I mean, we'll be having, like, another throwback conversation where I'll be like, guys, I'm grounded. And, you know, I'm very, very late 20s.
Tristan, so the fun in sex scenes.
Oh, well, I was just going to... There was a long wait around to bring up the film Weekend by Andrew Haig, which is kind of like... a film about kind of two guys who meet together and kind of spend the weekend together. But that film is a beautiful film, but it's really like there are some scenes that are quite graphic, but I love that it like it goes there, and but it also has this sense of like intimacy and like the kind of the different, I don't know, the different ways in which when you first, you know, hook up with someone that, you know, sex can be kind of like, I don't know, like it's it can be a full-on congress and something, and then it's sometimes just, you're there on the couch and it just happens. And it's, yeah, I really think that film is great. And I do like the way that kind of it goes with, there's some really, yeah, graphic things that you see, but it still feels kind of, I don't know, intimate and romantic, and not in a way where you feel like, oh, I'm just, the director's like, here, this is real sex. And he's like, okay, I relent. You know.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'd put that one up there.
Nice one. Do we have any other examples of good or bad?
Yeah, I was just going to say, like, on that sort of, like, intimacy kind of, you know, scale, there's a new series out on Netflix that came out. It's called Special.
Yes.
And it's, like, one of the first times I've ever seen someone with, like, a disability having, you know, consensual sex. And it's really beautiful. It's like sensitive, it's fun, like they're laughing, and yeah, it's just like beautiful. But I think like other hot sex scenes, I guess. But like I haven't seen it recently, but I know they're doing a remake of it. Like going back to, you know, what you guys are talking about remakes, was The L Word. So this was like a series like from way back when. About like women, and yeah, I remember at the time, like I had deep crushes on a lot of the characters, but they're doing a remake with my girl, Josephine Tavoni from Easy. So, you know, dreams do come true.
I didn't realize they were remaking. That's such a great idea to have just, you know,
it's, yeah,
20 well, odd great actors like together and...
You know, and they're like obviously doing more diverse casting, which I think is really exciting. And, you know, from what I've seen of the releases of who they've got involved, it's like actual people who... you know, do identify as queer or gay and stuff like that. And I think that's going to change what the season is, which would be cool.
Fantastic. Alrighty, well, I think we've been as vulnerable as we're at least willing to be.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like, I've definitely had an insight into both of you.
So, well, so I mean, look forward to that, listeners.
But, yeah, I mean, they're definitely classic examples of bad ones. And I think, yeah, the good ones, you know, I mean, it's much like sex itself. Sometimes it just, you know, really depends on, like, personal preference and what you like to see. And sometimes how, yeah. Certain films, it can be, you know, sexier to not, you know, show nudity and kind of have that chemistry between actors than, you know, having
and then
everything
just
out,
the next morning, it's kind of like, oh, that happened, and you just imagine in your mind. In your mind movies.
So once again, Single Ladies, when is it available to stream and where? What's the platform name again?
So the 22nd of July, and it will be on a streaming site called Hi-Vio.
Fantastic. Mm-hmm. Well, thank you both for coming in,
no,
sharing your example,
us.
Telling us all about Single Ladies. Is it a one and done situation? Will there be more seasons of Single Ladies?
We shall see.
Yeah, okay. I mean, you know, from the premiere, like it was a very like low budget web series that we executed with 6 episodes, you know, bite sized little bits, and the response at the premiere was like awesome. People like, can't wait to see what happens in season 2. So yeah, we'd love for everyone that checks it out to leave us a comment or a review. We do have a Facebook page and an Instagram at the moment, where you can see some behind the scenes pics or like little, you know,
snippets
that are quite good. You know, like I've stolen my boyfriend's Netflix password and what do I do when he's changed it? So yeah, please leave us a comment on singleladiesradio.tv, I think it is.
Yeah, I think so.
Thank you again to the two of you.
Thanks,
Tristan,
for having us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks all around. Let's not make eye contact now. No. Or should we all just like have a moment of just having eye contact?
Oh, wow, okay. How's this going to work for 4 people? But, yeah.
Supreme eye contact. Yeah,
we got it. Yeah, okay, good. It was really
great radio, guys.
Thank you, and we'll catch you in the next episode.
Thank you for listening to this RTRFM podcast. RTRFM is a community organisation and relies on volunteer and listener support. Visit rtrfm.com.au for more podcasts and other great content, as well as details on how you can support the station. You can also download our app and access RTRFM anytime and anywhere on your mobile device.